Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Chiefs Kingdom, you gotta fight for your rights!
And now, from the IMLD home studios, in its 11th season, you are listening to, in much less detail, the podcast, where we cut through the noise and give you your NFL breakdown in much less detail. Now your hosts, Jay and Bray.
Playoffs.
The NFL playoffs continue along tomorrow, but it's winding down. It's already Championship Sunday. Feels like the playoffs just started, but tomorrow it's time to decide who's actually going to the Super Duper Bowl, and we will have your picks for that coming up a little later on. You are listening live to In Much Less Detail, the podcast, here with you live on a Saturday night, January 27, 2024. I'm Dre. He's Jay. It's that time, the conference finals tomorrow, Baltimore, Kansas City, and then San Francisco, Detroit, doing battle to decide who goes to the big game. Jay, our battle for picks supremacy is going to, as always, come down to the wire. You did what you wanted to do. You flipped the script on me. You took the games that we disagreed on last week. So now you're the one in the lead. No fun when the rabbit's holding the gun. And now it's up to me to decide, do I want to just go along with your picks and ape your picks and push it off to the big game, make it one game for all the marbles, or do I want to stick with my picks and actually risk losing it all? It might be over tomorrow if I decide to do that.
Interesting strategy. You know, this is a not normal for you the last few years. You've usually been in the, you know, in the driver's seat going into championship weekend, and by virtue of my 3-1 and your 1-3 last week, I actually find myself with a late lead. This is the first lead I've had in a long time this season, because I had that run where I was ahead of you back around October, right before I went on my vacation, and I had that month of 4 straight Sundays where I hardly got to watch any football, and I just watched that my lead just evaporate, and I'm 10 games down on you, and now I've actually got a lead. And with the points the way they are, there's only 3 outcomes with the points the way we do them, if I'm not mistaken. You cannot win outright this week.
No, even if I took both from you.
Right, because you would end up being, I want to say, just short of the 8 points necessary. You could win one from me. I could win one from you, and that doesn't. But if I win them both and you lose them both, it's over.
It's all over.
I mean, it would be a bold strategy. I did that to you several years ago, disagreeing with you in a championship weekend when I did not need to, and won them both. So I'd be interested to see what you decide to do. Obviously, I'll pick first. That's usually what we do when it gets to this point, and then you can decide if I took your pick and you want to change, or you really do agree with me, but you're just going to go along with, you know, you don't agree with me, but you're going to go along anyway. So, yeah, this is when the strategery comes into play.
That's right. Really get to show off our geniusness.
Yeah, I mean, you can force, do you force me to win 3 games? Do you force me to win 1? Do we just disagree and push? There's a whole lot of outcomes here, but, you know, none of them can give anybody the outright win other than I win them both, it's over.
The only thing I'll tease for our picks coming up at the end is one of these games I knew exactly who I wanted the moment the matchup was made, and the other one I flip-flopped all the way to yesterday.
Oh,
so,
okay. I was more of a flip-flopper on the picks last week. And it's funny because the game that we flip-flopped, I think the both of us flip-flopped on the most, we lost, which was Green Bay and San Francisco.
Yeah.
I was late coming to that one, and I think you were too, because you talked about that, how you know, because you were riding that whole playing with house money angle, and that could have gotten you a win. I mean,
right.
But we'll see, because, yeah, the game is just beginning for us with the point. And obviously, it's just, you know, we're playing for pride. I haven't won in a lot of years, so I want to win.
I'm sure you do.
It's been a while. People who are late to the podcast think I never win these. I actually used to win these quite often, folks. we don't have a lot of that committed to the podcast. But back in the old days, it wasn't always just Dre running away with it every year and me forcing him to pick the Super Bowl correctly every year, which you've been on a roll.
Used to be quite even over the years.
I am excited. Just to be going into conference championship weekend with a lead feels very foreign to me.
you may have the lead going into the Super Duper Bowl, or I might decide to just risk it all and try to run you down and put the onus. If I do that and take the lead back, then again, that puts the pressure back on me to pick the Super Duper Bowl correctly, because you have to go against me no matter what I pick.
No matter what.
Has been what it's come down to the last several years. You said, I've gotten lucky and gotten that pick correct in the big game. But if you have to do it this year, then you would have to be the one to sweat for 2 weeks and make sure you pick the right one. So that's the strategy. That's what we got to decide.
The two picks that I have for tonight, all week.
Okay.
I was like, bang, bang. This is what I'm doing. So
all right.
I'll be interested to see, and we're only picking two games, I'll be interested to see how we kind of mesh up or disagree with those.
Yeah, we got that big breakdown coming up later in our football party. 90 hot minutes tonight of football. We're going to get into our awards for last week. You know how we do it by now. The best and the worst, the smartest and the dumbest, all that good stuff. What happened in the NFL last weekend for the divisional round? As we talked about the picks, the Packers, that was a few too many points for them. They wind up covering the spread but not winning against San Fran. That was the game that we both lost. We both had the Niners and gave the 9.5. On the early Saturday game, I thought I'd looked good with the Texans getting 9.5, and they were tied at the half, and then they decided to not score in the second half. So the Ravens, of course, run away with that one. Jay got that pick over me. We both had the Lions correctly over the Buccaneers. Jay even said it would be a close one. They were 6-point favorites, and Jay had them by 7, and they won by 8. So definitely saw that one the right way. And then the main event Sunday evening, somehow the Bills find a way to lose the game. They were going back and forth with the Chiefs. It was a great game. So, but the Bills, once again, find a way to come up on the losing side, which Jay had that correct, and I didn't. Therefore, my 3.3 points lead evaporates, because Jay gets 9 points last week and I only get 3, which means Jay is now up by 2.7. He's got 112 points even. I've got 109.3. And that's why it comes down to the conference finals, where I get to decide, do I want to go against Jay on one of the picks, which are worth 5 points each? Do I want to go against him on both of them and try to really take a hammer lock and take that lead back? Or do I want to just go along with him and pick whatever he's got, even if I disagree, which means he would still have the lead, but he would have to pick the Super Bowl correctly, because if he doesn't, then I would win and get those big 8 points.
Right.
So that's what we're looking at coming up with our picks after we do our awards for this past week.
There is a thought that disagreeing with me on one does not hurt you. Because you'll either get the lead or I'll be up by 7.7 points. So I still have to pick the Super Bowl.
It wouldn't matter.
Right. So, but that, you know, that if you just feel so strongly like, no way, you're dead wrong, I'm going against you, I'm taking that lead back. This is the fun. This is the strategy. You wouldn't think there's a lot of strategy with only 3 games left in the season, but there is, folks.
There sure is. So we'll see how that all –
And I've completely punted and made you pick the Super Bowl, and I had the Eagles, which I wanted, and could make
right.
the Chiefs, and I looked great for, what, 50 minutes?
Chiefs had them right where they want them, baby.
Oh,
they do.
Man. We'll see. We'll see.
So once again, by virtue of having a better week, you get to do
yeah,
what
we,
you've been, right back. Been used to doing,
like
which
tennis.
Is going first. Going first in the in our awards, so I
yeah.
get to ask you, who or what do you think was the best of the divisional round conference semifinal weekend?
Who do you think you are? I am.
This was an easy one for me, and you talk about players leveling up, right? Somebody leveled up last week. Somebody got a monkey off their back, shook a really bad reputation that they had earned. And, of course, I am talking about the one and only Dr. Lamar, MD, Lamar Jackson. Yes, who do you think you are? He was one hell of a game. Absolutely took over the second half of that game through the air and on the ground. And that was different, where we hadn't seen Lamar Jackson playing that way all year. And, boy, did he have some fresh legs finally come playoff time, right? He didn't wear himself out, beat himself to a pulp during the regular season. He played a lot in the pocket. He ran, but it wasn't like this. Like, he had purpose. 16 of 22 for 152 yards and 2 touchdowns. Doesn't look all that exciting, but when you put 11 rushes for a hundo and 2 more touchdowns on top of that, that's one hell of a day. They put down Houston. We talk about – we had the sunning wrong. Right. Last week we thought you were talking about it on the show that the sunning was going to be San Fran and Green Bay. No, this was the sunning.
Yeah.
Houston only gets one and they looked every part of the team that did not belong, like the house money team and, you know, the cards, the table turned. The cards went against them really quick. And that was you and me at the ultimate table when we were in Vegas.
Oh, man.
Was the Houston
Bandos
cards
up,
were
man.
Great. And then
Jeez.
When those cards took turn, man,
Ooh.
It went south and it went south quick. And yeah, there was no coming back for the Houston Texans. Dr. Lamar, MD, best of the week.
Oh, God, those memories of going to whatever that casino we went to before we went to the show. And I had never in my life lost $200 so fast. I'm like, what? Looking around like, how'd that happen? So, my goodness. It was definitely a sunning in the second half. C.J. Stroud was not up to the task. They played a standstill for a half, and I was feeling pretty good. I was like, I see what they're doing out there. I see them blitzing, and I see them forcing Lamar into situations that he's not comfortable with. And boy, did the Ravens turn that around and in the second half, which I won't go on too much about because I have an award for it. But yeah, Lamar absolutely killed some demons that were being rumored about him or talked about him going into the game. I talked about it when I made the pick. Lamar Jackson, playoff Lamar.
Mm-hmm. Playoff Lamar is dead.
Yeah, right. Going into last weekend, it was about as ugly as playoff Dak. But right now, there's no comparison.
Yeah.
After last week, Dak wishes he could put out a performance like that. The Cowboys might still be playing if he could. But yeah, hats off to Lamar MD. Really did get it done. It looks like a different player, like a different quarterback, a different Lamar than we're used to seeing. And yeah, the Ravens feel great about everything, and as well they should. If he can keep playing to that level, then they're going to feel very, very good in the future. The best to me, as I pause early to cough, I talk about how you have a retail job, so you get a job where you use your voice during the day, and I don't use my voice. I wasn't working anyway, but even if I was working, I'm just sitting there at a keyboard all day, so I don't really talk. So
well,
this is the first time
coming back. That was a long pause.
Yeah,
I was like, uh oh, this is it for Dre. I win.
what a way to win. No, this is the only the only time I really get to talk at length during the, you know, during the day. So sometimes my voice responds well to that, and sometimes, as you can hear, it does not. But the best to me of the week, I thought was pretty obvious myself. You say Lamar was obvious to you, and he was. But I guess I was looking not so much at an individual performance, but the theater of Bills Chiefs was the best of the weekend. We said it was the main event of last weekend,
yep.
And it lived up to it. Of course, it was the main event, and just a back and forth affair. It was great. It was the pinnacle rivalry in football today. It lived up to all the hype. It wasn't a perfectly played game, but it was close to perfect. The way they were dropping bombs back and forth with each other. And I don't think any other two teams would have played any better on that day with the cold and the wind. I think the Bills and the Chiefs played that game about as well as it could be played. Travis Kelce called it, quote, instant classic. And we make fun of people who do that sometimes, but I think this fits. This was another installment in the chapter of that rivalry. And it fits right in. And he probably says that even if the Buffalo kicker doesn't choke, but I'm sure that helped out a lot as well.
Right.
It was a great television show. That's what it's it's what it's supposed to be. I'm sure it got a monster rating. Bills fans will maybe never get over the result of it, but the theater of it, the great TV show, it was exquisite. It was absolutely the best of the weekend. Games like that have that kind of hype, usually they don't live up to it. That game absolutely lived up to the hype.
No, I agree. It was. I'm always worried about being hyperbolic. I don't think this was to the level of the 13-second game, right?
No,
which truly was. I mean, that was just two heavyweights just, you know, punch, counterpunch, back and forth the whole game. This game had a lot more nuance. It was a lot more sloppy than the other one. Obviously, there were some missed moments and things in this game, and we've got a lot of awards, and I don't want to, you know, ruin anything because, with only four games, I'm sure we're going to have a lot of duplicate things, many duplicate things from certain games, and this was the big highlight game of the week, and yeah, it lived up to it. I thought, the Chiefs did what they needed to do. What I said last week, if you want to be the man, you've got to beat the man, and the Bills, they tried, but they ended up just not being up to the task, and a lone touchdown in the fourth quarter gives the Chiefs the lead, and they hang on to it. Buffalo goes scoreless the rest of the way. They had multiple opportunities with the ball, and they couldn't capitalize, culminating in that missed field goal.
Definitely had their chances. Nobody can complain about them not getting an opportunity. The clock running out or anything. They absolutely had their chances and couldn't take advantage. But, yeah, like something goofy happened on, like, the first five plays of the game. Just back and forth already, like, right off the bat. It's like, just get your popcorn. Just settle in because it's going to be one of those games. When it settled down, the Bills are shoving on offense. They're sort of ground and pounding, and the Chiefs taking advantage of the Bills in the air, and the Bills clearly being shorthanded in their back seven, and that kind of wound up being the game and wound up being the difference, but watching it play out was, like I said, just great theater.
Right. We talked about it all season long, that the Bills depleted secondary especially. It was just going to come back to get them eventually, right? It was – their offense was sustaining a level over this last couple of months on this run – putting a Band-Aid on the defense that's been missing its top players and just kept losing people every week. And, yeah, do the Bills win this game if they're 100% on defense? Probably. But you don't get to play 100%. The Chiefs were – nobody's 100% in January.
Sure. No, certainly.
So it's easy to say that, but they were not just missing guys. They were missing high-leverage guys. You brought up a point that I don't have an award for. The Bills were bullying the hell in the first half out of the Chiefs and completely got away from it in the second half.
Right. No,
they looked like the team that panicked,
Yeah, they did.
And they completely, because that offensive line and that running game, I mean, even the commentator on the game, they were talking about how the Bills were just, you know, they were pushing them around.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think, you don't just man up from that. The Bills changed. Something changed, right? And they started to get down. They get down in the third quarter, and it was like as soon as the Chiefs hit them back and took the lead, they went into, we'll run every once in a while. They sprinkled in, but they did not have many rush attempts in the second half at all. And, yeah, that was kind of disappointing to see after what looked like it was going to be that what they did to Dallas, just this, we're just going to maul you, which they can clearly do if they set their minds to it. They're just not smart enough to set their minds to it.
And I do have an award on what I think happened at the end of that game, so I'll get to that later.
Uh-huh.
But then time for you to get to your worst of the divisional round.
Boy, there were a few. Thank God we have multiple bad awards, because sometimes I've got this basket of bad things, and I just have to figure out what fits the best.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never seen a team or a coach specifically just up and quit at the end of a playoff game. And Todd Bowles upped and quit. I don't care if you don't think you've got a shot. You've got the other team. What'll be a 4th and 12 at your 30-yard line. 30 seconds left, and you went home with a timeout in your pocket. They were going to have to either punt, they were going to have to try a 48-yard field goal, and if they miss that, you're at midfield with 30 seconds to go. And they just, how do you go home with a timeout in your pocket in an 8-point game, which shouldn't have been an 8-point game because they had no reason going for two when they scored? So Todd Bowles at the end of that game and the decision-making of the Tampa Bay Bucks just absolutely blew me away. And in a division round game, to see that level of mismanagement, first of all, going for two for no reason. This isn't a regular season game. Why put yourself in that position? You kick the extra point, you're down 7, right? You score a touchdown, easy. Extra point, tie, or go for two then and try to just sneak out a win on the road if you're that worried about it. And then you go home with a timeout in your pocket and 30 seconds left on the clock. So Todd Bowles, I don't know what you were thinking. That was the worst of the week.
What network was that one on? It was, I think the broadcasters were.
NBC?
It might have been NBC. I think the broadcasters were trying to get into a little bit of the analytics and explain why it's actually a good thing to go for two down 8 instead of just taking the extra point.
Yeah, whatever.
And I don't think even the broadcasters at this point believe most of the explanations of the analytics that they're giving. First of all, they don't understand the analytics anyway. But second, they're just basically trying to justify some of these decisions by saying, well, the percentages say that if you go for two here, then it'll be 40% chance of something or other. I don't think they really know what they're talking about with some of those things. It'd be nice if they could explain what goes into those percentages, but I don't think they know. They're just talking about a graphic that some producer put up on the screen, but I don't think they actually know what the thing means.
Right.
I don't think Bowles had any kind of analytics go into that. I think he just wanted to be down 6 instead of 7 because then he'd
right. Like it was the play of a team that knows they're not the better team and they're trying to sneak a win on the road, which is great in the regular season.
Yeah, that's the shit that you do when you know you don't belong. Like Belichick would not do that.
Because the Bucks did what the Bucks do.
Right.
Right? I mean, Baker Mayfield threw for 349 yards. He aired out a bad secondary, just like we said he would. And they got that touchdown about 5 minutes left to go. And then after that, then not calling that timeout and at least making the other team try to do something. Something bad could happen, right? You could block a punt.
Of course.
You could take one back to the house. They could miss a field goal. They're not going for it. I know that. Dan Campbell likes to – they're not going for it on 4th and 12.
Well, I don't put anything past that guy. But
I'm just saying, but you get – all you got to do is get the ball to midfield and you're a Hail Mary away from a miracle. But you at least got to take a shot. You're in the playoffs. Playoffs? So.
Everyone's being a little too hard on Todd Bowles. You know, he's trying to preserve and save his team for next week. You know,
sure.
He knows the game is over, and,
yeah,
and he's
over.
Just trying to, you know, trying to rest his guys and then give them a bit of a break. You know, so they'll be nice and fresh for the Pro Bowl.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm like everyone else. I have my arms up in the air, like what are you doing?
The call time, yeah. I can't imagine Bucks fans yelling at their TV.
What are you doing? Yeah.
30 seconds left. A lot can happen in the NFL in 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
A lot can happen in 13 seconds.
13 seconds. You beat me to it. I was about to say, a lot can happen in 13 seconds. No, you got it. So, yeah, good call for your worst. My worst last weekend. You only give fuel to the folks saying you're the weak link and you're the only quarterback in the Elite Eight that wasn't a first-round draft pick, or you're a system quarterback. That's your favorite one. You only give them fuel when you go out and play like Brock Purdy played against
like
Green Bay. I mean, the rain was strong, so I'm sure that obviously was said that, but it was strong for Jordan Love, and
yes,
he played well until the end. But Purdy was not good at all. Looking like the stage as a number one seed was a bit much for him. He kind of looked like he was wilting under the stage lights there. His accuracy was obviously an issue. He tried to throw using a glove. He took that off. He was in his drop back at one point and still wiping his hand, like in the middle of the play, before throwing the ball. I don't know if I've ever seen that before. You're sitting there wiping your hand on your leg. And then you got to regrip the ball and try to throw. Obviously, that throw was incomplete because that's not exactly – you're the quarterback between us. You're the one that actually played quarterback with our pickup football team. Is that optimal for quarterback play? Because I don't think it is. You got to wipe your hand in the middle of the play and then try to regrip the ball and then throw it accurately?
I mean, I can tell you it sucks throwing a wet ball because we didn't have towels and
– No.
You know, so we were just wet. And we were playing in snow. I
was about to say, not just wet, but
I didn't
mud.
Have a problem. I really didn't have a problem.
Okay. Brock Purdy apparently does. So
he does.
You got one thing over Brock.
Yeah.
You don't have a problem with a wet ball.
It also doesn't help that Brock Purdy, and credit to the Niners for being so lucky, threw about four balls that should have been picked.
Mm.
At least in that
game.
True. There was a repeat of the Darnell Savage pick six off Dak.
Yeah.
It was the exact same route. The exact same play, almost at the exact same point on the field, and it just whoop right through Darnell Savage's hands.
Mm.
I think he was seeing a house call back-to-back weeks.
Right.
And there were at least three other throws where Purdy was throwing into traffic where if the Packers DB were just looking around, easy interception. You know, Brock Purdy did play terrible, so I'm glad you called that out.
23 of 39 for 252 yards. We love the yards per average with the 49ers, especially through the air. 6.5 yards per pass, 2.5 yards per attempt, less than his average on the season. That's a lot. That's a big drop for one game. He was ass. Brock Purdy was the worst of the week to me because they're lucky that they won that game.
Well, especially with all this MVP talk.
Mm.
If there's an MVP on that offense, it ain't him. It's McCaffrey.
I was about to say, there's about three or four other guys I think that might be more valuable than old Brock.
Yeah,
I'm not a Brock hater either.
No, I'm not saying that. I don't. What do we talk? He's a great system quarterback.
Is that word again?
In that system. He's great in that system. They had the mask and the gun. They got away with one against the Packers. The Packers gave them everything they could handle.
And they sure did. Aaron Jones continued to run strong. They were pushing the Niners early like they did with the Cowboys. So they were controlling the clock, and the Niners didn't have the answers, at least early on. That looked like a real struggle. That looked like a real chance for a huge upset all night. And then sort of miraculously at the end, Purdy puts it all together on the last drive. So I guess he did it when he needed to, when it came down to it, he got it done. Give him credit for that. But overall, worst of the week. That was not good.
Yeah, I'm glad you pointed that out, because I didn't have any awards as I'm looking through here for Brock Purdy and that Niners effort, but it wasn't good. It was. I don't care if it's in the rain. It was raining. It wasn't just raining when you had the ball.
Nope.
And, you know, but Green Bay, 9-win team, kind of, you know, I don't want to give Kyle Shanahan, like, the Belichick treatment, but what you see a lot with good teams, especially really good teams, is, especially against a weaker opponent who's giving you everything, just give them long enough and they'll screw up, right?
Yeah, they really did kind of wait until the last second.
They waited out the Packers, and eventually the Packers just, you know, did something that the youngest team to ever make the playoffs would do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, Jordan Love at the end of that game threw one of the this isn't Detroit balls to end that thing. And in this run that the Packers went on, give him credit. That's like the first Yaha ball he's thrown.
He's played some unbelievably smart football up to that throw. Absolutely.
So people here, I can say, were disappointed, but nobody was. Like, the most depressing part was how high the hopes were during that. Like, oh, we could do this, you know.
Right.
But when they did lose, everybody seemed, because we were at a Packer party and a lot of, you know, big-time Packer fans, and they're like, yeah, but this team shouldn't even be here, basically,
mm-hmm.
you know. So good for them. They got the experience. But the Niners, yeah, they dodged a bullet. And they've got a better team coming to their house this week, so they better be ready.
Much better. Couple of points in there, and I always, you know, you always say stuff, and I have a counter to it, and then we move
sure.
on, and I forget about them. So let me spit them out while I'm thinking about them. What the Niners did. I'm the horse racing fan between us. Favorite horses. I don't know if they did, you know, they're thinking. Obviously, they can't be thinking along, you know, with the strategies of the races. But sometimes it almost seems like they are. Like some favorites. Will not go out anywhere near the lead. They will sit there all the way until the last turn and wait for the last furlong of the race and then get on find a hole on the rail and just fly by everybody else. Like, where he come from? What happened? sometimes it's, you know, the jockeys control that as well, but that's what the Niners did. They just waited and waited and waited, and then they found their opening at the very last furlong and fired through and won that race. And then as far as Packers fans' reactions to Jordan Love's mistake and all this good play leading up to that, it's a matter of perspective as far as your fan base and what kind of fans you are, because unfortunately, if this were Justin Fields putting forth this kind of effort to get the Bears into the playoffs and have a whole lot of great play and a big upset in the first 7 seed, to beat a 2 seed, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And he went through all of that and got to the end and made that throw. He'd be getting killed the entire offseason. That's the worst
thing
I've ever
seen. Do you know what Packer fans are the most excited about?
Hmm.
That they did all that and Joe Barry still got fired.
They wanted
his ass out of town on a rail, and they clamped down and they still fired him. They knew that defense needed some work. So good on them. I didn't give them smartest of the week, but thank you, Packers, for not finding, you know, don't you believe it, because that's what it could have been if they would have kept Joe Barry, because he was not good this year.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that firing. I was like, wow, that takes some stones to do that after the season that they had.
No,
but
what takes stones was the Bucks firing their head coach. That one took stones when you're 37-10 or whatever it is.
Yeah, that was just weird.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's stones or just a major power play by Doc Rivers. I'm not sure what happened.
Maybe he was banging the owner's wife. I don't know.
I don't know either. All right, so that wasn't your smartest of
no,
last
my
weekend.
Smartest.
What was your smartest?
I'll tell you, my smartest of the week, we're going back to the first game of the weekend, and that 10-10 tie in that Ravens-Texans game, and you felt like they were a little slow getting out of the gate, and, you know, they just barely got that engine going, and a little shell-shocked after that punt return after they had completely dominated the first half. And you know, we bag on coaches all the time for not making halftime adjustments, right, Mike McCarthy?
Your guy.
Dan Quinn. But whatever John Harbaugh and the offensive and defensive coaches of the Ravens came up with when they adjusted at halftime, they unleashed Lamar. They gave him the keys to the car, and they said, go, run, just all bets are off. They played it like it was the last game of the season, and they just absolutely curb-stomped the Houston Texans and smothered them. I mean, that was the big chief smothering Jack Nicholson at the end of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, if you've ever seen that.
Oh, my goodness.
That's just big chief laying on poor Jack. Yeah, that's how it was. That was a smothering end of
wow.
that game. Yeah, old movie reference there, folks.
Very old.
Thank you. It's in the 70s. We're old.
Before
but it's
we
an all-time
born?
Classic. All-time
it
classic.
Yeah.
If you get it, that's even better.
Shout out to our psych teacher. Damn, what was his name?
I don't remember.
Oh, you don't remember either? Damn it.
No, I don't remember.
But we're looking at his face, curly white hair, glasses.
Oh, sure.
Really, really bright guy, but God, we cannot remember his name. I think it started with an M. But that's why I know the movie, because he showed it during his class.
So if you envision the last scene, you know, the last few minutes of that movie, of guy getting smothered with a pillow, that's what Baltimore did to Houston, and that's my smartest
goodness.
Of the week.
The psych teacher also showed us Clockwork Orange, which still
oh my
haunts
God.
Me to this day. Yeah.
I'm glad I didn't have that class. Okay, so no wonder you. Now I know why you are the way you are.
That class is 0.1% of why I'm the way I am.
No, I'm just joking. But yeah, you got to give it to. Yeah, how many high schools right now, would show kids Clockwork Orange?
You hell no today. Hell no, you can't do that. All the girls in that class, that's who I felt sorry for watching that scene. I'm like, oh my God, what are we watching?
Wow.
No, you definitely can't show that. Shit, we saw that. We saw One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. We saw Do the Right Thing, which is a great message movie to show kids, except for that Rosie Perez scene with the ice cubes in their naked breast. That part is maybe not something you should have been showing.
Well, I'm sure that was informative on your youth.
I still remember it very vividly.
Well, kings of non sequitur, folks.
No kidding. Rosie Perez. Shout out to Rosie Perez, baby.
And Big Chief. Good job, Big Chief.
Shout out to Big Chief and Jack Nicholson and Stanley Kubrick and Spike Lee and Rosie. Rosie, I still love you.
Man.
I swear to God. Where the hell were we?
What was your smartest of the week here?
Oh, that's why I'm stretching time, because I concur. Halftime adjustments. Yes, absolutely. In Baltimore.
Was that the master class in halftime adjustments?
No kidding. The Texans were blitzing the hell out of Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. He was looking for the long ball in the first half, but he didn't have time to get it there. So after the 10-10 tie in the first half, Lamar and his offensive coordinator, Todd Monken, his quarterback coach, T. Martin, they make the adjustments. He gets rid of the ball much quicker in the second half. Peter King had the numbers in his column. Per the Next Gen stats, Lamar's first half time to throw was 3.53 seconds. Second half, 2.7. They knew exactly what was happening. And they said, okay, get rid of it faster, and if they come for you, just take off and run and do your thing. Add in the runs when Houston was in man coverage and not looking at him. He's just, okay, fine, I'll just take off and run since you're not looking at me. And the Texans had no chance. No chance.
There was a talking head earlier in the season on what, and there's so many of them, I don't remember who they were, so I can't give credit where credit's due, who basically was talking about how halftime adjustments are overrated. Whoever that player, former player was, just probably had shitty coaches. Like, they must have played for Mike McCarthy.
Wasn't very bright and didn't understand.
Right.
Them.
A badly coached team would have come out in the second half and just thought, well, we're better. And we're just going to keep doing the same thing. No. The Ravens saw what was happening, and they adjusted. And once they made the adjustment, I mean, it was game over. I mean, all their three straight touchdown drives in the second half for Baltimore, and Houston couldn't go anywhere. That's why they got smothered with a pillow by the Big Chief.
Back to the Big Chief.
Yeah.
So we'll move on from all of that. So we definitely concurred on that one. Your dumbest of last weekend.
Oh, I don't know if we're going to concur on this one, but I have a sense we might.
Probably will.
Quote, unquote, comeback player of the year.
Oh, jeez.
Damar Hamlin gets the most fan servicey fake punt call that you'll ever see, and it just completely blows up in the Bills' face in their own territory. Later in the game, in the second half of the game, they decide, and we see him, he's motioning from the right side of the formation to the left, so something looked off to begin with. But whatever it was, the Chiefs absolutely sniffed it out. Direct snap to Damar, comeback player of the year, Damar Hamlin, who just immediately gets stuffed for a loss, doesn't even get close to picking up the yardage that they needed on the fake punt, and just sort of went kind of hand-in-hand with the Bills losing their shit in the second half of that game. That was the poster child play of the Bills' second half against the Chiefs, looking like the team who tried – they couldn't just beat him straight up. No, we got to try gadgets, and we have to do it with Damar because we need him to get that comeback player. Like they were doing, it was almost like a fan service, like a WWE. Like they wanted the pop, and
they
the
took
pop
a poll
went
of
the
fans.
Wrong way.
And what play do you want us to run next? What match do you want us to have? They took a poll.
Yeah. Well, we need to get, because imagine how that would look on the season DVD or on the comeback player. We need him to at least have one highlight if he's going to win comeback player of the year. Nope, denied.
It was almost a miracle that he's active. He was deactivated so much during the year, but they were so shorthanded. So.
Man.
He probably shouldn't even have been out there. No, you know what award that gets for me, because I was texting it to you as it was happening.
Yeah.
Winning the game
72-71.
Dude.
What the hell? Yeah, I get
that. So, yeah, that was their first chance to answer KC's last score of the game there in the fourth quarter. The Bills had, of course, three possessions to try to answer. Yeah. This was their first decision to try to answer. They're stopped fourth and five at their own 30. Fourth and five at their own 30-yard line. Clear punt situation. Clearly. More than 12 minutes left in the game. You're still only down one possession. What are you doing?
That's some balls of Staley right there.
I mean, it really does remind you of Staley. You're going for it on his own side of the field. Mm-hmm. And I know it doesn't feel good to punt in a back-and-forth game. So they decide, yeah, we're not going to punt. We're just not going to do it.
I mean, your offense has a better chance of just getting the 5 yards.
Your quarterback is mauling people. How about him? Your running back is mauling people. How about him? Nope. Damar Hamlin, who's a safety and not a running back. And unfortunately, he failed to keep the drive alive.
I'm just going to say it. I just think his heart just wasn't in it.
Yeah. That's a major fail by the special teams coach, Matthew Smiley. As soon as it happened, I texted you, what the fuck was that fake?
Sean McDermott had to thumbs up that, right?
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
This is why you guys are on the couch.
I don't know. I don't care how few guys were on the field for KC. I guess they had 12 men on the field and still it doesn't matter. You can have 7 men on the field. You're trying to get 5 yards with a guy with a defensive back. What are you doing? It was that was my exact reaction. What the fuck are you doing? And I texted
each other about that. Like, what is going on?
You cannot do that with 5 yards to go, not using a running back. You can't do that in that spot in that tight of game against the world champs. Seriously, what the fuck was that? Come on.
Yeah. What was your dumbest of the week?
That was definitely my Danielle. I went off the field for the dumbest just because I'm the coaching search stuff. What are we doing?
Oh, like, my God.
I know hiring Bill Belichick isn't cut and dry. He needs personnel power. He's bringing Boy Wonder Josh McDaniels as his OC wherever he goes. He's bringing his weirdo kids as the defensive coaches and de facto coordinators. It's basically handing your whole organization over to the guy. But if you're the Titans or the Potato Skins or the Falcons, you don't want to turn the franchise over to Bill Belichick? Really? You're afraid he's going to mess up your gleaming legacy of coaching hires?
Right.
What the fuck's wrong with y'all? Your franchise,
Carolina Panthers, man.
Oh, my God. Your franchise will suffer from giving him too much power? Really? Really? None of your teams with openings
are going to do better. He's clearly an unproven commodity.
None of you are going to do better than Bill Belichick. None of you. Like, further and furthermore, Dallas and Philly and Chicago should have got rid of who they have to bring in Bill Belichick.
Yes.
In addition to the openings that are already out there. I'm sorry. Bill Belichick is available.
Go
and
coach.
He's interviewing. And he's flying to your city and interviewing. He's actually putting forth the effort to interview with you. And now we'd rather have Raheem Morris. What the fuck are we doing?
Oh, my
Come
God.
Come on.
Radio Raheem.
I'm sorry. That's just dumbest of the week to me. I hope Raheem Morris goes on and wins a title and shoves it up my ass. Good luck to you. I hope you do. Until that happens, until he proves that he's worthy of being hired for coach. If Phil Jackson interviews for a basketball coaching job and you interview him twice and come back and say, yeah, that's nice. I'd rather have Tom Thibodeau. I'll take him over you. What are we doing? That's Phil Jackson. That's the
yeah,
equivalent.
I don't care who he wants to bring along with him, you know.
That's Bill Belichick.
You say, okay, Phil.
Yes. So that was my dumbest of the week.
Where can we
find
that?
I don't understand it.
No, it's been crazy. And I'm getting all the stupid ex-Twitter alerts on the Falcons page this week about all the people. They must have interviewed 20 people for that job.
They're
just interviewing people off the street.
It came down to Raheem Morris. Really?
Yeah. They might as well have just interviewed the guy who runs the Starbucks on the corner. I don't have anything against Raheem Morris. He can't be Arthur Smith.
I know that's your guy. I don't understand. All right, I'll get off of that. Your biggest surprise of last weekend.
I'm going back to the 49ers and the Packers game. My biggest surprise was that young Packers team taking the Niners all the way to the brink. It was a gutty effort. They played really well. Jordan Love, for all the way up until the Yaha ball at the very end of the game, was composed. Aaron Jones was the man. Aaron Jones, you know, 18 for a .108, had himself a hell of a day. Romeo Doubs, again, the number one receiver for Jordan Love. And I just want to, you know, give them credit, because that really was. I mean, we both had Niners squish. I think a lot of people had Niners squish. And to have that team up late, you know, Packers are up 21-17 all the way up until the 1 minute and 11-second mark of that game. That surprised, I think, that didn't just surprise me. I think all the Packer fans, all the Niner fans, I think everybody watching that game was like, am I really seeing this right now? The Niners are getting taken all the way to the edge. And I just want, you know, first you got to give them credit. But also, that was the absolute biggest surprise of the week to me.
Hey, what happened?
Probably sitting there watching the game and doing that the entire way. Yeah. What,
I mean, we're sitting there watching the game, I'm just sitting there, and I didn't say it to jinx them, but I casually said, you know, if they beat these guys, they can go to the Super Bowl, right?
Sure.
I mean, it was right there. I mean, you just beat the, quote-unquote, two best teams in the conference.
Yeah, if you take out the Cowboys and
the
Niners, like, you can beat anybody. Yeah.
Right. You just sniped the two best teams. All you got to do now is go to Detroit, who you destroyed on Thanksgiving. Yeah, the sky was it was right there for them. But as it usually happens, the better team won. And it took 58 minutes and 49 seconds, but the better team won.
Yeah, again, the even odd favorite horse got on the rail and just, all right, I'm taking over.
Yep.
I'm winning.
So, enough about that game, but that was my surprise of the week.
No, it was a surprise. I'm just so mad because if anyone should have seen that coming, it would be the guy who picked the Packers
you
to go into Dallas.
Over it.
And nobody was taking the Packers to go into Dallas the week
yep.
before. Everybody thought that was fait accompli.
I mean, you played the house money angle like to a T, and then you just jumped off a week too soon.
Yep, switched off. That's what I do sometimes, unfortunately. My biggest surprise of last weekend, sure, you got a different award for this. There's so many different angles you can go, so I decided to slot this one into my surprise.
Yeah.
What in the name of Scott Norwood happened on that Tyler Bass kick? Why right?
It was straight until it wasn't.
Man, was it ever straight? I don't know if it was. It started out crooked, it felt like. So, yeah, that's the two words you don't want to hear in Buffalo, wide right.
Wide right.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Making poor Norwood, his name trending on Twitter all night, which I knew that was going to happen. And
does that mean we have to change our page picture now?
Back to Norwood?
No, back to go back. Now we get Tyler Bass.
Oh, no. Oh, dear.
No, leave the poor guy alone.
Yeah. No, I made it Russ just because that was that lost the championship, that decision. That was even as heartbreaking as this was, I still don't think it was as heartbreaking as not giving it to Beast Mode. I still think that's the that's the ultimate.
It was a second down interception.
I know.
Run that shit on fourth down.
Anyway, the Tyler Bass kick was the culmination of a 16-play, 6-minute, 40-second drive.
Man.
Where Project started it with a long one through the air that Stephon Diggs had right in his hands, couldn't bring it in. That could have been a TD. That could have gotten rid of all that drama right at the beginning of that drive. Project fumbles in the middle of the drive. That could have ended everything the other way for the Bills, except the Bills were able to recover the fumble. And then the end zone shot that everyone talked about for Khalif Shakir after the 2-minute warning that fell short. Like, he was open in the end zone, but Chris Jones got just enough pressure on Project to make him come up a little short. Yep. So all kinds of drama leading up to the game-tying field goal attempt by Bass. And just when Bills fans are trying to hyperventilate about, uh-oh, we're going to tie KC and give it back to Pat Mahomes with all this time left, nah, you ain't got to worry about it, because you just slice the kick right off the bat and you don't have to worry about all of that. Man, that was a surprise. That was a big surprise. It was a lot of drama. It was a great ending, like I said, drama-wise, to a great TV show.
Right.
But, yeah, that was terrible for Bills fans, and it was a big surprise. Because that was it, 44 yards?
41.
41 yards. Sliced it right off.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Let me just verify that. Oh, I'm looking at the wrong game.
I think your buddy in Green Bay, I think that was 44 yards.
Yeah, that was 44, 47, but it wasn't. Yeah, I mean, it's not like 41's a gimme, but at that point, it needs to be a gimme.
It pretty much is these days.
Well, 44, you are correct. 16 plays, 54 yards, 6 minutes and 40 seconds. Culminates, they got to the 26-yard line, and then they missed a 44-yard field goal, wide right.
It's crushing, and a big surprise to me, because I was getting ready. I was getting my popcorn for the overtime.
Tell you why it wasn't. Well, first of all, I had the Chiefs, so I wondered. But I'm sitting there, I'm watching the game, my son and my mom. My mom was over watching the game, and I'm sitting there, and they line them up, and I just looked over at my mom, and I was like, watch them miss.
Oh, well, you saw that coming.
I saw it coming. I was like, man, I got the script. Arian Foster sent me a copy before the game. I knew what the script was.
Okay. You and Weinstein with all the producers producing the NFL this year. All right. So that was my big surprise. Your letdown of last weekend.
I'll tell you what. Josh Allen. I mean, we're going to go back to something that you just talked about. Josh Allen gets this sort of like moniker of being coming up small in big games. And anybody who wants to tell me that, I will reference them the 75-yard in-the-bucket bomb that Josh Allen threw to Stephon Diggs as Exhibit A, that this guy is not coming up small in the big game. That was no YOLO ball or Yaha ball. That was all-time NFL Films highlight Hall of Fame induction play happening, and Stephon Diggs, yeah!
Right through his hands.
Can't come down with it. That's your number one guy who has not been the most reliable this season, and the little turmoil. Man, that to me was the big letdown, because we talked about the offsides costing us that Travis Kelce lateral touchdown. You know, that's all time. That Josh Allen ball. It was 75 to 80 yards. I mean, he's from almost his 20 to almost the other 20.
Yeah.
And dropped it in the bucket. And you can't make a better throw and under that pressure to make that throw and have your number one guy drop it and take that away from us, that to me was my letdown of the week.
Definitely part of a series of what could have been for that game for the Bills.
Right.
No doubt.
But don't tell
about
me Josh Allen's a choker or can't make the big throw. It was, I mean, that was the biggest throw one of the biggest throws I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. He's not a choker, but I'm still referencing what I'm going to talk about, what I saw out of him for the end of that game, and I still haven't gotten to that yet. No, actually, this is my letdown. So your letdown is the same team in the same game, but you're talking about one end of it with Stephon Diggs not hauling in a catch that he absolutely could have and should have hauled in.
All-time throw.
I think outside of that throw, despite that throw, late in that game, my letdown is I think Project turned into Karen Rodgers. I'm sorry.
You think he had some yips? Or was he locking? I mean, what was
it, that? The big knock on Rodgers, of course, in Green Bay was that he would refuse to go big in playoff games because he was afraid of making the big mistake to cost his team the game. Yes, Project went huge for that throw, in that one throw. But all the rest of those plays, Project, after all the Superman plays that he was making and throws across his body, because the Bills needed all of that the past 2 months, right? Playoff mode. Got to do or die. We've got to live or die with every play, with every game going forward for the past 2 months. And he was making all the plays, even the bad ones, even the terrible throws, the Yaha balls, the YOLO balls. Everything, but it was all part of the package. It's all him. This is who he is. I think he turned into Karen Rodgers. I think he stopped doing those type of throws in the fourth quarter of this game because he was afraid of losing the game to Patrick Mahomes. He was in the middle of another titanic struggle and battle with Patrick Mahomes, and it felt like to me he turned in the fourth quarter into check down Charlie. Playing not to make the big mistake that everybody's going to criticize him for. That's unfathomable from that arm that he could do that. Yes, if Diggs hauls in that bomb, those numbers bounce up. But the numbers were, 4.8 yards per throw. 4.8 yards per throw in that arm.
Yeah.
That's atrocious. 26 of 39 for .186.
No.
Out of Project.
Now, 75 of that probably left on the field, but no, I get it. That's not a day.
The numbers definitely bounce up with that catch, no doubt about it. A touchdown, no INTs. So does that not sound like an Aaron Rodgers playoff game?
That sounds like somebody, yes. That sounds like somebody's numbers who played it very – that's a game manager's numbers. That's somebody who played it very safe.
That's a 14-2 division – champion losing to San Francisco in the cold.
Yeah.
That's definitely an Aaron Rodgers game.
Bradford numbers right there. Your boy.
He didn't try bombs like that enough to me. I understand you don't want to make the mistake. I understand you got all that pressure from – I'm sure he still feels like, you know, he's the one that got Ken Dorsey fired. I'm sure he feels like he's the reason why the Bills are in that do or die spot to begin with, that they had a lot more talent than to be into that spot.
Yeah.
But it felt to me like he turtled in the fourth quarter besides that one throw. He was doing a lot of other short throws besides that, and it didn't work out in the end.
Well, to your point, the longest reception of the day was 15 yards.
That's terrible. That's terrible. Out of a player of that caliber. Out of somebody
especially
came
for
into
a
the
team
game
that had established the running game. Like, it was there for you to take some shots, especially in the first half. You're beating the brains out of these guys on the ground, pushing them around and playing bully ball. And they did not take – you're right. They did not take the shots, and they got tight in the britches. They knew that – I think the Chiefs are in their head. They are kind of their daddy right now, and the Bills have to shake that. Otherwise, they're never going to ascend to that next level.
They were battling. They were there with them. They were
yeah.
mano a mano. So they didn't have to be their daddies, but they let them be because at the end, I think Project sort of bent over and took it, unfortunately. All right, the Bills and Project.
And I know that hurt you. That was your Super Bowl team, and it hurt me because, you know, I'm hipster J, but.
That's right.
Yeah.
It definitely hurt.
My heart wanted the Bills to win, but my brain said, you're not beating the Chiefs.
As much as
they own you guys.
Mm-hmm. No. As much as I projected them to win the championship this year because I thought it was, their destiny. Watching them lose like that, it makes me think their window just slammed shut on their fingers right there. I don't think they're coming back from that. But I've been wrong many times.
I don't know because I mean, there's still so much of a core there. They got to get that defense fixed.
Yeah, they definitely got to get the defense healthier. But there's to me, it felt like a finality to me. But
we'll sure. That the Chiefs are their daddy and that. Well, we'll see. The Ravens are a different animal. So Ravens don't have a daddy. So that'll be a fun game. That is fun. I'll say it.
Yeah.
And I think that the Chiefs-Ravens matchup is honestly more compelling than a Bills-Ravens. I don't think the Bills would have gone in there and had any chance the way the Ravens are playing right now. And who knows? We'll see what I have to say about the Chiefs. Maybe they don't have a chance, or maybe they do.
I definitely disagree with that. Yeah, that's a deal. No, if the Bills come out of that titanic struggle and actually overcome
the after slaying
the
dragon,
Chiefs,
you don't think they let down against Baltimore, or you think now they feel revitalized?
No, that was sort of my point of picking them is that they've been in do or die mode for 2 months to where it's normal for them now. Everything is nothing compared to what they had to go through just to make the damn playoffs. So to overcome the Chiefs in that spot, I think was sort of just pushing them even more forward than what they've already been. I don't think anyone could definitely say they could beat the Bills if they come through and win that game last week. Like,
well,
they can
it's
beat
just
anybody.
One of those. It's one of those barroom discussions now because it'll never happen.
Yeah, that's exactly right. All right, so, yeah, Project and the Bills are definitely struggling, but that wasn't my struggling zone.
Struggling.
Who was your struggling?
I'll tell you, you already talked about one of them. I'm going to throw the other one in, and we're going to have ourselves a little pity struggling party for Anders Carlson and Tyler Bass. My guy, Anders Carlson, with the worst kicking percentage. Like, you pointed it out. He was my X factor in the first round because of all of his missed kicks, 6 extra points, one of the lowest field goal percentages in the league. They got by with it, and boy, did that come back to bite the Packers in the ass at the worst possible time. Misses a field goal that would have put them up 7, put a lot more pressure on San Francisco late. And you don't know what happens after that point. They'll have to kick off. The Niners won't get the 40 almost like they did. So everything changes if he makes that kick, and the Packers have all the momentum, and they're up a full touchdown with Brock Purdy the way. But, no, you miss the kick. Give them energy. They're only down 4. Hey, guys, all we need is a touchdown to win. And the Niners, they went and they did it. They dropped an interception, the Packers did also on that drive. Which they were doing all day long, that would have iced it. So, Anders Carlson, you can take the L. You're struggling. And, of course, Tyler Bass at the worst possible moment to tie what had been an epic, not the most epic Bills-Chiefs game, but in the pantheon of great Bills-Chiefs playoff matchups that we just seem to get, and regular season games now, too, that just have these sort of epic endings. And, oh, yeah, wide right. 44-yard field goal to virtually ice it for the Niners, for the Chiefs, I mean. So two kickers, one who we shined the light on for the last several weeks, and then the other one we did not expect to shine the light on at all. Both were struggling at the worst possible time.
Oh, the curse of Anders Carlson. Oh, my goodness.
And I was calling him out for weeks.
And the Niners they were not in sync. Again, that game was right there for the Packers to take.
Yeah. They couldn't get that last first down. That's all they just needed, that last first down. Don't put it in the kicker's foot, you know?
Right. And that gave Purdy a last shot, one last drive for the lead. And he finally put, like I said, he finally put it all together in that last drive. I don't know what was going on leading up to that, but finally got some big plays off and hit some big receivers. Debo getting hurt early in the game played a big part of that as well. Like, they were
right.
Clearly not the same team. He had to make plays with, you know, Jawan Jennings and Chris Conley, and I'm sure he wasn't counting on having to do that, but that's what the great quarterbacks have to do. If you really want to be considered great, Mr. Irrelevant, then you got to do things like that. And it took him a while, but he finally did it. But, yeah, aided very much greatly by again, the curse of Anders Carlson. Your guy.
My guy.
Oh, my goodness.
Who to you was struggling?
Struggling.
Even more than the people of Buffalo, who have been struggling terribly.
Man.
After that game, even more than the place kicking all weekend, because those two guys were not the only ones that missed kicks. There's somebody else that blew a field goal as well in Houston, I believe. Even more than all of that, no one struggled to me more than Tampa Bay pass protection. Oh, my God, dude,
yeah.
Block somebody.
I mean,
anybody.
We basically called it out on the show when we picked the game that Detroit's got one rusher.
Right, and if you don't, but if you don't block him at all, then and then anyone else that blitzed, they didn't block. How do you let these guys come free? It was several. It was like three or four guys that came
yep.
completely untouched. How do you keep doing that in a playoff game? How? It would be a terrible fail at the worst possible time to have a blocking scheme screw up and let someone get a free release at your quarterback, and the Bucs kept doing it. Repeatedly. Multiple times.
They did. My guy, Brian Branch, came in unassisted on one.
Nobody put a hand
untouched.
On
untouched. Nobody even looked at him.
Like, what?
They,
what?
The running backs weren't picking up the blitz. All of a sudden, they'll highlight on the running back, and he's just watching. Like, he turns around and, like, just sinks his head down. I'm like, oh, man, that was my guy.
Oops.
Yeah, my bad. Sorry, Baker. Let me get the spatula.
Right, Baker Mayfield laying on the ground with his arm in one place and his leg over there. Sorry.
My bad.
Sorry about that. Baker hung in and gave Tampa way more of a chance than they deserved. So he winds up 349 and three TDs. But
so wait,
really.
So did you turn around at all on Baker this season?
Yeah, a little. I don't think he's great or anything like that.
But he's a starter. He's a starter caliber quarterback.
I had to have turned around a little because the idea that Tampa might, you know, let him go and start over and draft somebody, I actually think that's dumb. Like, just keep him.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Keep Mike Evans and keep him.
Yeah, and rebuild from there, yeah. This game, he had to do it all by himself. He had to do it despite his protection and not because of it. 8 quarterback hits by the Lions. 8.
Yeah, 4 sacks.
Oh, terrible. I don't remember seeing protection that bad in a playoff game in a long, long time. So,
or kinda, your coach quits.
And by the way, your coach quits at the end of the game.
Man. Well, and let's just say a word for Mike Evans in the season he had. He went off in that game.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the connection. Baker, if anything, during the season, he knew he had Mike Evans. If anything else, he knows.
Sure.
Throw it up to Mike Evans.
And wait, we have quarterbacks who aren't smart enough to do that.
Right. So he did figure that out, but I don't understand how you completely blow protection schemes like that over and over again. All right.
Against a team that's not known for getting the quarterback on the ground.
But anyone can get him on the ground when you come completely free and unblocked.
Yes.
All right,
absolutely.
You get to do your Danielle.
I get the last
get
one. You already
here.
Did the Danielle game.
The game 72-71.
Nothing better than the absolute, what must have been Carissa Thomas Thompson moment. Aaron Andrews, after halftime, telling us that Debo Samuel is questionable return. While they're showing him standing there in street clothes. And we make the joke since that thing came out about the uselessness of sideline reporters and this the questionable, like the guys, you know, neck could be snapped sideways, right? And they're taking him out on the ambulance. Well, his return is questionable. We actually got Aaron Andrews telling us about Deebo Samuel's questionable to return as they're showing him standing on the sidelines in street clothes. And the whole rest of the game, like I said, I was at a Packer party. The whole rest of the game, every time they showed him, you know what we all said? He's questionable to
he's
return.
He's still questionable.
So to me, that was my what-the-fuck moment was, you can't do that. You can't throw your – first of all, the sideline reporter have a little more self-awareness, but then also the crew throwing her under the bus.
Immediately going to Deebo, standing there.
Showing Deebo while she's giving the sideline report at after halftime of Deebo running out of the tunnel and then promptly right after that standing on the sideline after he's questionable return. He's in street clothes.
So I didn't see it. I'm guessing I was getting some food or something and I missed that.
You would have spit your food out. It was hilarious.
But she's giving a sideline report on the obvious topic of the game. So the producer, of course, is going to go to the subject that she's giving.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't know what she's going to say.
Oh,
he doesn't know that
man.
She's going to actually report that he's questionable to return as he's standing there with no uniform on. That's hilarious.
That's a team effort. I'm not going to put this 100% on Aaron Andrews because she probably talked to the coach, you know, or somebody on the staff during halftime. She doesn't know that he's running out of. Maybe, you know, she's probably who knows? She's not even maybe standing near where he's running out. But then you get the that was a team fail. But I'm going to give her like half the blame, and I'm going to give the crew who shows it as she's talking about it the other half, because that to me is not questionable to return.
Really?
That is out. That's doubtful.
You don't think he can take the field in a tank top and cleats?
That's what we were joking about. Like, hey, he's just a tough guy, right? He's just going to run out
there
and play some street ball. He's Deebo Samuel. He don't need no pads. He's just going to play in sweats.
He needs a helmet. Helmet's
sweats
overrated. Yeah,
he's good to go.
Right.
So,
helmets are for wolfies.
But in this season, with all the kerfuffle that we had about the sideline reporting and the phony reports and the uselessness of the sideline reporting, that we get that. Like, that's chef's
useless.
Kiss right there, Aaron Andrews. Thank you. You proved us right again.
Deebo Samuel does not have a uniform on at all. His return is questionable.
It's doubtful. Or no, questionable. Questionable. It's questionable to return. There's no question.
Oh, boy. That is our awards for conference semifinal weekend divisional round. We did not leave 30 minutes to make these picks. We left 15.
18. So. Yeah, 18 minutes. Let's go.
16 after I get the plugs in. So you can figure out where to listen to the show and email us and all that good stuff. So we'll be back in a couple of minutes for those conference finals picks. You are listening live to In Much Less Detail, the podcast. Not on the radio, but only here on the website, blogtalkradio.com/InMuchLessDetail. To be notified when we're live, you can follow the show on the Blog Talk Radio website, or you can follow my Twitter feed at IMLDDre when I tweet out when we're live before every show. Jason is on Twitter too. His feed is at IMLDJTG. Our show is available as a podcast where you get the live show and a special VIP after show. To listen to the show as a podcast, about an hour or so after the live show is over, come back to the show page and look through our archives, or subscribe on iTunes or any number of different podcasting apps, including Player.fm, Mixcloud, Blueberry, and the TuneIn Radio app. You'll get the whole show, the live show and the after show, downloaded straight to you. You can always send us a question or comment or shout out via email to the following email address, inmuchlessdetail@gmail.com. You can follow all of our picks on our blog. The website for the blog is inmuchlessdetail.blogspot.com. Our Thursday night picks will be available Thursday afternoon on our Twitter feeds. Again, that's at IMLDDre and at IMLDJTG. This copyrighted broadcast is a production of Jay and Me, and is solely performed for our entertainment, as well as for any poor soul who happens to be listening. It is intended to be a football pick show for the private, non-commercial use of our audience. Any publication, reproduction, retransmission, or any other use of the descriptions and accounts of this podcast without the express written consent of Jay or me is strictly prohibited. Championship Sunday, tomorrow. NFC, AFC championships decided who's going to the big game. And maybe our competition decided, depending on how I go against Jay's picks. So again, Jay is up on me by 2.7 points. So I get to give him the honors to make these picks, and then I'll decide which way I'm going after he does it. So here we go. First in the afternoon, tomorrow in the early afternoon, the Chiefs visit the Ravens. Kansas City now 13 wins on the year, 8-2 on the road after their big win in Buffalo. Baltimore 14-4, 7-3 at home. The Chiefs will be missing a big offensive lineman, left guard Joe Tooney's got a bad pec, so that might be a huge injury for them. No Kadarius Toney, no Sky Moore. Those guys have been trying to come back. They have not been able to get back on the field in the receiving core, and they might not have their linebacker Willie Gay, who's got a bad neck. For Baltimore, they finally will get their tight end Mark Andrews back on the field from his shin and ankle injury, and they might get Marlon Humphrey as well, their cornerback, back from his calf injury. The Chiefs are the defending champions, and they're still the underdogs, plus 4 points at the Ravens.
Well, I'll tell you what. You just said it. One team's getting healthy and the other team's getting knocked out. Boy, you don't want to be losing offensive linemen against this team, do you? You don't want to be losing one of your top guys going up against this Baltimore defense that's already pretty tenacious. And they are getting Marlon Humphrey back. It's reported he is going to play. Right. They're getting Mark Andrews back, too. So now another weapon for Lamar Jackson. And, boy, this matchup, though, there's so much going on here. This isn't the – there's not a lot of history between these two because the Ravens have been coming up so small in the early rounds of the playoffs and really haven't been there much. So we don't have a lot. There's no animosity as much between these two teams as you'd have with like Baltimore and Pittsburgh or, you know, something, you know, where there's that rivalry. So this is relatively new. Plus the Chiefs on the road again. And this isn't the team that they can sun and they're the daddy of. I don't think there's a daddy in this game. It's just going to be, probably right now, it's truly the two best teams in the conference going toe-to-toe. Is Dr. Lamar going to be able to come up big against Patrick Mahomes on the road with all the Swifties and, you know, and that patched together makeshift wide receiver core? It's really Rishi Rice and dudes. At least it's not just dudes. Now at least there's a guy and dudes. So he's at least gone to that point. Isaiah Pacheco's banged up. So, yeah, all week, though. And this is why I'm not even going to have to really dance around stats or any of that. I've been on Baltimore all week, and I'll tell you why. Because if Baltimore doesn't do this, I'm just picking the Chiefs next week. Because then it's all set up, right? You've got the whole thing set up. We're going to get it's the Taylor and Travis show, the Hallmark movie. They can be the stars of their own Hollywood movie. Oh, it's just so disgusting. The Ravens, you are our last best hope to stop the national nightmare. That is the Travis and Taylor show, and you're the best team in the NFL, and you guys have handled your business. You're doing it at home. That running attack, this is the smartest team. It's not the Bills. I mean, this is one of the best run organizations, some of the best coaching. Like we said, the master class in halftime adjustments. I don't think the Chiefs, they shouldn't have as much of a chance as I think people are going to give them, because I think Baltimore is that good and they're at home. And I think it's going, if Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, they slay this dragon, hey, all right, great. Hey, I'm going to give you the clap. This is an all-timer. I've been on them and now I'm off. I'm taking Baltimore. I think the Ravens are the best team in the NFL and they deserve to go to the Super Bowl.
No, don't give them the clap. That's not nice. I think a lot of people agree with you, obviously, that line started at, what, 3.5, and money's going on the Ravens, which is kind of shocking to me. The last hope for against the Taylor and Travis at midfield in Vegas at the Super Bowl. He might even get on a knee or something. That would really, would be the Hollywood ending. That would be it right
Ill.
There. Yeah.
Please no ref shenanigans. I do not have the refs as my X factor. Man, if the refs are, if there's shenanigans, I'm going to be mad.
I know. I'm sure I'll hear all about it if there are. My off the beaten path stats for this matchup and the next one, all about the defense this week, because I think defense will decide both of these games. For the Chiefs, KC had the second most quarterback pressures in the league this year with 181. So we know how Chris Jones and company get down. They get after the quarterback and the quarterbacks make mistakes, just like they made Josh Allen make the mistake on the big throw to Shakir that could have won it for Buffalo last week. For the Ravens, they led the league in sacks with 60, but that's not even the off-the-beaten-path stat. They did it blitzing 22% of their pass rushes, which was the eighth lowest blitz rate in the league. So you see how they get after it with Matt Ibike and all those guys on their defensive line. So that's going to be sort of mano-a-mano D-line in which defense can get after and disrupt and affect the quarterback, and I think that's what wins this particular game. I don't care how beat up the Miami and Buffalo defenses were. I never would have thought that Pat Mahomes would get this crew with these weapons. Dude, I'm doing my scare quotes with these weapons.
Yeah.
I'd have never thought he'd have got them past these two rounds and made it to the conference finals. I'm amazed that he got into that war last weekend and came out on top. Now, his best play, Andy Reid's most creative ideas, they need all of that. They're going to need all of that in Baltimore. PFF podcast had a stat. Pat has a 1.8% turnover-worthy throw rate in his entire playoff career. All of his playoff games put together.
Man.
1.8% turnover-worthy throws. That's almost flawless. He's unbelievable. He might be the greatest fucking quarterback of all time. I'm sorry. He might be. And will that be enough versus the Ravens? That's the big question. Now, Lamar was flawless last week versus Houston. Will that continue versus the Chiefs? I didn't think he was going to run crazy like that. The halftime adjustments were wonderful.
This is when you need them. This is what
exactly.
You need them for.
But I didn't know Houston was going to blitz and play man as much as they did, which is asking for him to run on you, really. They're begging for it. I don't think Kansas City will do that. I don't think Steve Spagnuolo will do that. I think he's smarter than that. I respect the hell out of what Baltimore has done with their offense under Todd Monken. I can see them figuring out the winning formula. So this is the one that I flip-flopped on because I can see Baltimore getting it done, but I'm swayed. I'm swayed by the Mahomes magic. He really shouldn't be in the AFC title game with these weapons, and he's there. And I'm going to trust him in his sixth straight AFC title game, Lamar in his first. It should be a great game. Should be a great battle. I got the Chiefs.
Yeah, so you're going the flip of me, but no, I think the Ravens are, they've shown me, their wins against top teams, they've been no doubters. They're that level right now. I don't know if anybody else in the league is at that. I thought San Francisco, but honestly, it's probably the Super Bowl tomorrow. It usually is that way.
I don't even know about that. It all depends on how San Fran turns themselves around. They have the ability to take both of these teams out.
They do.
If they play at that level.
Brock Purdy over Patrick Mahomes? It is one
be,
point. I'm just saying. That's why I said, you better snipe me and get the lead, because I'm telling you right now, if the Chiefs make it through, I'm taking them.
All right. Who's your X factor for this one?
I don't like obvious X factors, but it's got to be Mark Andrews, right? How, coming off the injured list, you know, eligible to return, he comes back in, goes back into that mix now with Likely. Is he a decoy? Is he full go? That to me is the big X factor, because if that's a full steam Mark Andrews, it could be fun for Baltimore.
That's another huge weapon. Like Lamar said, two heavyweights going at it is what he sees, and adding Mark Andrews is just adding another outlet for him, another weapon. I'm going defense. I'm staying with my defensive theme for both of my X factors. Nick Bolton, the Chiefs middle linebacker, someone's gonna have to spy Lamar Jackson because. Willie Gay probably would be, but he might not be able to make it out there. even if he does, he might be slowed down. So I think it's going to have to be Bolden. I don't think they want to use Bolden in that respect. I think they want him to take one of those two tight ends, likely, or Andrews, and cover them. But I don't think they have a choice. I think they have to keep somebody to keep an eye on Lamar. You can't just play man and have everybody running back with their backs to Lamar, and then Lamar goes, oh, okay, I'll just run and go for 20, 30 yards. You can't do that. So Nick Bolden's my X factor. They got to keep an eye on Lamar.
That was you actually. That was my runner-up.
Yeah. All right. Detroit, San Francisco, in the NFC title game. Lions up to 14 wins. San Fran up to 13. San Fran 6-3 at home, and Detroit 6-3 at this year on the road. All their best beat-up guys for Detroit. They're all playing naturally. Because everybody plays for that coach, Dan Campbell.
Yeah.
All the Laporta, and the center Frank Ragnow, Josh Reynolds, all those guys are beat up, but they're all going to play, of course. And for San Fran, of course, the biggest question, Deebo Samuel and that jacked-up shoulder, he's going to suit up. They didn't know all week, but they made the decision. He's going to actually play. Now, the big question, will he be just a decoy? He's the big X factor for that game as Andrews is for the Baltimore game. Much bigger spread here, of course, Lions +7 at the 49ers.
Yeah, I'll make this one easy for you. After seeing what I saw from the Niners last week, I'm taking the points. That's, to me, I don't know if that was some yips with Brock Purdy, but he didn't look right. I'm not going to attribute that all to the rain. That's not a very good Packers defense that was giving them some trouble, and he made some throws that just, it was your worst of the week. It was so bad. He made some throws that you're just like, what are you doing? I counted it, like I said, at least four balls that should have been picked. Two balls right into guys' hands. And against a not very good defense. I know they'd played better recently. We'll see. That Lions, I don't know if the Lions are going to have just free runners going after him the whole game. And their back end is really bad. But the back end of the Lions is the only part where these teams aren't evenly matched. They both run the ball excellently. They both stop the run excellently. They're both almost the same in yards per game, passing yards per game, points per game. Lions are a lot better on third downs than the Niners are, which is weird considering how prolific that offense was. But they probably didn't have a lot of third downs for how many yards they got per play. That makes sense. But the only glaring weakness, and if it's what does the Lions in, is the back end. It probably is what does them in, but I think they can hang with these guys. I don't think there's a lack of confidence, and at least one quarterback on this team's been to the Super Bowl.
That's true.
So I'm going to take the Lions and the points. That would be a gargantuan bounce back for San Francisco. I mean, sure, there's a lot on tape, and they were able to have a lot of coachable moments. But, man, you know, the Lions, so many ways they come at you. All those rookies, the way they run it, the way they throw it. I'm taking the Lions. I'm taking the points.
All right. For Detroit, they're 124 missed tackles this season, fifth most missed tackles in the league. For San Fran, they tied Chicago with 22 INTs, most in the NFL. Their 28 total turnovers were only three off the league lead. The kneecap biters, one win from the Super Bowl, got to go through the fighting Brock Purdy's. Football fans of athletes, watch the O linemen from both teams, Penei Sewell and Trent Williams. Both are dancing bears. They get out on the perimeter and they bury people. It's so much fun to watch them pull and beat up people. It's not surprising that Detroit is a touchdown underdog, despite the two wins in the playoffs so far. Those are at home. Those are not perfect games, though the Rams game was pretty close. The flawless, but now they go out west to try to take down the top seed. That's a tall task. Naturally, there's trepidation on the Niners side after that flat outing versus the Packers. And, of course, there's a question of how healthy is Deebo Samuel. Everyone pointed out correctly how less potent the numbers are for the Niners when Debo's not on the field. I still like San Francisco because Deebo will be on the field. Even if he's a decoy, that's a hell of a decoy. And because Brock Purdy struggling can be attributed to the rain, which was a factor. And most importantly is that Kyle Shanahan offense versus a 27th ranked pass defense. I'm sorry. The Lions are terrible in the back end, and you know that. It's Purdy's time to shine. It's Purdy's time to amend last year's NFC title game nightmare. Unless they snap his elbow back, I'm taking the 49ers, and I'm giving the 7 points, and I'm putting it all on the line against you this week. If I go down,
wow.
If I go over two, it's all over.
Yeah, I mean, even if we split, yeah, there's only four possible outcomes, right?
That's right.
Two of those outcomes, I have to pick the winner. One of those outcomes, you have to pick the winner. And one of those outcomes, it's over.
So I'm putting it on the line here.
Right. So you're playing the odds. That's the 75% chance that you go at least 1-1 against me, right? And you stay alive another week. Or you throw it all on the table. You only did one against me, but you feel that confident this several years ago. You appreciated it when I did it because I put it all out there and would have blown the whole season. And you really, really want to make that Super Bowl pick, which I get. Cause I know I don't know if you're the same way I'm feeling, because if the Chiefs win, that's it. They win the Super Bowl. That's what I'm doing.
No, I'm not completely convinced, although I probably would lean that way too. But no, I had to do it because I was flexible on Baltimore KC, depending on your San Fran Detroit. That's the one I was not flexible on. I got the Niners to bounce back and take advantage of those Lions. The Lions are so bad. Through the air, and the Niners are so good. It just seems like too big of a mismatch to me to go against them and take the kneecap biters. I can't do it.
No, like I said, everything statistically is even except for the Lions' pass defense. And then the question is, like, Baker Mayfield exploited it, Matt Stafford exploited it. Is Brock Purdy in this spot, right? This is the revenge spot. I know they're not playing the Eagles, but this is the spot, right? Brock Purdy
right.
gets hurt last year. He left. We had our quarterback. We would have won. We would have gone. But this is the spot. Don't get hurt, Brock Purdy. poetic, if that happens, if he rips his arm up third play in the game or whatever it is.
That's my team. Yeah. It's my quarterback.
So we'll see. I mean, two great games. Again, you know, 50% chance I'm still picking the Super Bowl, and then 25% chance you are, 25% chance the whole thing is over, and it doesn't matter what we think about the Super Bowl. So that makes it fun. I appreciate your you know, your bravery in doing that.
And there's a chance I would have went with the Lions on a couple of different points. If it was raining again, because obviously – Brock Purdy is different in the rain. It's not just last week. That ugly ass game that they lost in Cleveland in the regular season, that was an ugly, drippy, rainy game. And
well,
was
that was also
terrible in that
game
too,
where he had the game winning drive and they missed the field goal. That game.
Yeah, but he still wasn't very good before
that. Cleveland's defense was different at home. I don't get it.
Yes, it was very much. But that game, it was, you know, not just the Cleveland defense, but again, the weather. Clearly this guy's affected by the weather. Some quarterbacks are like that.
Okay.
So if it was raining, I would have possibly went with the Lions. And if Debo was ruled completely out, I may have gone with the Lions, because again, Debo on the field versus Debo off, totally different animal. Totally.
Right. How effective is he tomorrow? That's almost like the health of Debo Samuel can be. I didn't give my factor. Didn't make it on the air for the X Factor. I went offense. You went defense for both. I'm going with Jameson Williams.
Okay.
It's time for Jameson Williams to go out there and have. Finally, it's time. He needs to go out there and have one of those, you know, 3 catches for 110 and 2 touchdown type games. He is clearly capable of doing it. They need to unlock Jameson Williams because he's the third, the fourth, the fifth guy. Right, he's that burner, the Gabe Davis. Well, like, he's just got the game-breaking ability where he'll just wreck an entire week, especially fantasy-wise, when he goes out and has games like that. But you're not accounting for that, and he needs to do it. They need all hands on deck here, and he clearly has the talent. He's been getting some balls thrown his way. But you clearly see where that offense runs through Amon-Ra St. Brown and Sam Laporta. They need another guy. He needs to be the deep threat. Because those two guys aren't going deep. Amon-Ra St. Brown is not a deep threat.
And Laporta can't go deep because he's limping around.
You need to be able to take the top off of somebody. He is the main candidate to do it. Go out there and do it. That's my X factor.
All right. But not only did I stay defensive, but I stayed the same damn position because the Lions' middle linebacker, Alex Anzalone, will have to cover George Kittle. He got six pass defenses on the year. He's got to be the guy to trail Kittle down the middle of the field. It's a big game. It's a nationally televised game. That's when Kittle is at his best. That's when he's trying to do the most because he's almost as big of a glory hound as Kelce is. Somebody's got to stick with him, so it's going to have to be Anzalone.
Kittle's got to get himself a rock star girlfriend.
Yeah, he's probably got about five of them. He just doesn't make it a
right?
public thing. you know
he's just
going to
show up with the posse.
That's right. Or he might have Taylor Secret. That might be her next album.
Oh.
I'm not saying.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
She might be
some thruple action going on, maybe.
She might be the next Kardashian. You know, you get one athlete and you just can't stop.
Oh, no.
That's, yeah. No. I hope it's not anything like that. Anyway. So that's our big preview. Yeah, I'm putting it all on the line, brother. I'm shoving all in. See how it works out. Are you still there?
I am.
Okay. I don't know if I have too much else after that.
No, I don't. That was a long, loud show. It took a lot. No, my throat's like killing me because I talk all day, and then I do this. So
right.
I don't lose the voice, but I start getting to that point where it's like you start getting scratchy.
Yeah, it's getting fatigued.
And I'm gonna wake. You know when my voice will be weak is when I wake up tomorrow morning and I'll be like,
oh.
I just don't want to talk. Yeah. Yep. So, no, I'm good. I'm ready to watch some football. Get up in the morning and do some. I'm looking forward to getting up, putting together a few DFS lineups tomorrow to give me another edge for watching the game. You know, I'll probably do a two-game slate, and then I'll probably make one for each game. You know, because it's getting towards the end of the season, so I got to blow my bank now.
Right.
You know, it's like money in the bank. You might as well. You can't win if you don't play. So.
Yeah, I understand that.
Put a little Jameson Williams. He'll be cheap.
Your guy. No, I'm always scared of him. Every Lions game I watch, I'm like, oh, man, please. I hope they don't start lighting it up to him because he could just beat anybody if they decide to focus on him.
If they could just unlock that would be something for them. And he's had flashes, but needs that moment.
Yeah, I'll certainly be making my plays for this game. I guess I'll be doing under for the Chiefs-Ravens and over for the Niners and the Lions because I just think the Niners should put up a whole bunch of points and
three or four
touchdowns for Purdy.
We're not looking for weather in Baltimore?
Little rain in the forecast. I don't think it's going to be all game long like it was in San Fran last week.
Man,
but, yeah, definitely
That was sloppy.
Yeah, all game long. I don't know if it's going to be all game, but there's definitely some rain in the forecast in Baltimore. And San Fran looks perfect, you know, as San Fran tends to look normally. That's the matchup. That's the conference finals tomorrow. Jay's got Baltimore and Detroit, and I've got KC and San Francisco. And the battle will be raged. If we split, of course, Jay is still ahead, but I can still catch him in the Super Bowl. So that's the stakes. That's what's on the line.
I just want to win the Baltimore pick right off the bat and make you sweat for 3 hours.
Like we said, either way, you know, if I lose one game, if I disagree with the San Fran Detroit game, it would still be on the line next week.
Exactly. So even if we disagreed on one, well, what's the point? Because it's the same outcome. The only outcome that you're putting at risk here is losing it all.
But we'll see how it all works out. I'm a gambling man, and sometimes it doesn't work in my favor as it has this week with some of these college basketball games. But hopefully it'll get better in the future.
All right.
All right, everybody, enjoy your conference finals championship Sunday tomorrow. He is Jay. I am Dre. This has been, like you said, a loud, wild version of In Much Less Detail, the podcast, our football party. We'll be back next Sunday. We plan to be next Sunday. Any objections or any issues with next? Uh-oh, it says Jay has dropped, so never mind about next Sunday. He really wanted to get the hell out of here. As soon as I started breaking it down, he was like, all right, I'm gone. So Jay will take his voice and go off to bed, and I will decide what outro music I want to play, and I'll make my way to my own bed as well. But yes, we are planning on next Sunday for our honors and dishonors. It's our normal day for honors and dishonors is the Sunday in between the conference title games and the Super Bowl. So that's what we're aiming for once again. And so unless he texts me during the week and lets me know something different, we shall be back next Sunday to do the honors and dishonors and get you ready for the big game the week after that on the, is that the 12th of February or the 11th? Sunday, February 11th for the big game. So that's what we're looking for next week, honors and dishonors next Sunday. Conference championship games tomorrow. Everybody enjoy your football, and we will talk to you next Sunday night.